You're listening to the Hammersley Brothers podcast. If you'd like to get started with three of our best tools, see the link in the show notes. They're free and video training is included.
Hello and welcome to the Hammersley Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, we're talking about the sixth domino of the e-commerce sale, the reason to buy now rather than later. So let's get started. Hello, Ian. How are you?
Good afternoon. Yes, I'm okay, despite the fact that we've spent the last hour trying to get audio visual equipment to work. It's become ridiculously complicated. When we used to do it, I was in the car using Skype, and this is how we started doing the podcast. And over the years, we've become, you know, more professional, which is the mean. It just makes it a lot longer to get going, and it just doesn't work. Yeah. It's like when you do a Zoom call and, you know, the microphone doesn't work properly. It's like that, but like, you know, the next level of frustration.
Well, the most annoying thing is when you buy some new gadget you think it's going to really help, and then it doesn't work. That's the most annoying thing. I had that with a Sony camera the other day, and you know, I just assumed it was going to work, so I threw away the box and I couldn't take it back, and then I stormed out of the shop. You know how you do. When they wouldn't let me take it back, and then I literally left it with them, and they had to courier it to my house because I'd stormed out the shop and left $1,000 camera in there. And
really, what, they sent it back? They sent it to your house? So you just left, walked out,
walked out,
But so without a little bit of getting rage. A reason, no, that's unusual for you, Mars. You're normally the placid,
I was having a bad day,
calm brother. You must have had a really bad day,
Well, anyway.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. How's the weather?
Oh, the weather, Ian, is horrible. It's raining and wet. And so
beautiful day in England.
No sunny
today.
Sunny day. Speak to someone else this morning who said it wasn't that nice, but you know, maybe it's different in different parts of the UK. We should have a rundown.
It's very variable.
Right. We're gonna do the 700th domino today. The sixth domino. The sixth domino is what we're doing today. And the sixth domino, if I'm not incorrect, is the reason to buy today or the reason to buy now, which I guess, why don't you do an overview of the dominoes and why this is the last one?
All right. So the sixth domino, which is the last one, until we invent another one. I mean, who knows? You know, the dominoes could continue. But the sixth domino is, at the moment, the final domino. And it is the reason to buy. It's the offer architecture. Now, I'll go through the dominoes just very quickly. The first one is, do we pass the busy restaurant test, which is about positioning. Second one is helping people find the right product, which is navigational flow. Third one is job to be done. Fourth one is anxiety reducing. Fifth one is trust and credibility. And the sixth one is the offer architecture. Now, when we started these podcasts, I don't know however many years ago, and the book we wrote, we talked a lot about the offer architecture, like the reason to get people to buy now. And some people would say, well, you know, I don't want to do an offer architecture, and you know, it feels a bit cheap. And I think it probably, in order to help us explain when to use a good offer, this is why the dominoes have come, and it just helps solidify. And notice that the offer architecture is the final domino, because if you reverse the dominoes, it actually helps you understand why they are dominoes lining up in a sequence. And so the final domino is the offer architecture, which is reason to buy now. It doesn't have to be an offer in terms of an offer, but it's a reason to buy now. Now, no one cares about an offer architecture if we haven't demonstrated trust and credibility. So, which is proof that we can back up our claim. Nobody cares about the fifth domino, which is the trust and credibility, if we haven't reduced the anxiety, which is the fourth domino, which is like, is it going to arrive on time? For example, that might be an anxiety. Nobody cares about the job to be done. Sorry, I missed one. No one cares about the anxiety if we haven't demonstrated the job to be done, which is like, do I want the product in the first place? No one cares about wanting the product in the first place if they can't find the right product, which is the second domino, navigational flow. No one cares about trying to find the right product if we haven't positioned the brand and passed the busy restaurant test. So you can see it all links back. And going back to the just what I was saying before, what?
Every time you move in that leather chair, it sounds like you're farting.
I mean, I'm really glad that you've taken that. You know, you've ignored everything that I've been saying about the, you know, our grand philosophy. Just to go, yeah. Oh, it sounds like you're a trumping joke. On the... Yeah. It does. It's a leather armchair.
Yeah.
Which yeah. I think it's actually...
Keep going and let me put you off your leather. Stride.
So, well, you, I mean, yeah. You know, you did a little bit. So I'll come back. So the sixth domino, which is the offer architecture, like going back in the day, going like 5 years, we would sometimes go straight to the offer architecture. And we would do that because we were often found that was the easiest way to influence the conversion rate, get a better conversion rate, is put an offer in there. But it's very true. Nobody cares about the offer unless you have, it's built on something. It's built on value. It's built on a perception of trust and that we're actually going to deliver them. Because they don't care about the offer.
A lot of the time we were coming into businesses that were already established at that point. And so they'd done a lot of the dominoes already. And so we could refine the offer and we could just basically mine the value they'd already built up. And so that's kind of where we would always come in and we would just refine the offer. I mean, like some of the big car companies we did, you mean, they were established, they got trust, they had all the dominoes there. Mm. It was just the refinement of the offer, which kind of like turned them into, you know, from about 300K a month to, well, it was about $1 million a month as soon as we put the offer in, and then it just went up from there. So, yeah, and then obviously since then we've worked with people from startups all the way through to the big ones, and then we've come up with the dominoes to work out why sometimes changing the offer didn't work effectively.
Yeah,
what we're talking about.
And I think there's a couple of overall philosophies with the offer. I mean, the reason why we have the offer architecture, the reason to buy now, is because we want people to take action. We want people to buy. We don't just want them to have a look and then go. Because unfortunately, most purchases, or fortunately, I don't know if what's right or wrong, but most purchases fall into an emotional need. Like, they don't really need a new jumper or a new pair of shoes or a new lawnmower or whatever there is about. Most of the time there's an alternative, and that's either making do with what they've got or buying from somewhere else or buying something for a bit cheaper. But they often look to justify an emotional need with a rational reason. So they try and justify emotion. So most people, when it comes to the offer architecture, most purchases in retail, most things in life really, unfortunately, are pretty unnecessary. And a lot of the times people don't actually need the things that they're wanting to buy, be it whatever it is, a pair of shoes, you know, a new sofa, a table, a lamp, a phone. You know, most of the time it's an emotional need. The thing that we're trying to do with the reason to buy now, that file dominoes, we're trying to give people a rational reason to justify an emotional need. And that's where the reason to buy now comes in. And so we're trying so they don't delay it. Now, I think the main considerations of when you're deciding what the offer architecture is the length of time to buy is the first one. So if you're selling a sofa, buying a sofa online, the average time to buy is 6 weeks. It's a much longer buying time. Like, it takes a lot longer to make the decision to buy. So your offer, if you had an offer architecture that was, say, you know, there's a deal on and it ends midnight, it's way too short. It's just inappropriate. There's no way that people have gone through all those dominoes yet. In order to then make the decision. But if you're selling if it's a much shorter buying window, so, you know, the famous example was the car battery. Someone's buying a car battery for their car. They don't take 6 weeks to decide what kind of car battery to buy. They need it now. They need it really quick. So hence why that's a much shorter process to go through all of those dominoes. It takes, you know, it's much, much quicker. So hence why you could say there's an offer on the table today, today's price, for example. So... But notice also what I've done is I've gone straight to what most people will assume when we're talking about the last offer is the monetary value, the discount. It doesn't have to be a discount. And it's just one of the examples. And I think the other main reason, so the first main consideration of the offer architecture is the buying window, length of time to buy. The second one is if it's selling other people's products or your own. So if it's selling other people's products, so you can't do a big discount because the margin isn't there. So you can sometimes, the offer architecture can be tied into average order value as well. You can be trying to influence the average order value, and it could be free gifts, it could be things like that, or it could be free delivery for a certain amount of time. Like, it doesn't have to be a big offer. It just so happens that sometimes that's what often does work.
And it's little psychological cues. Like, someone we were looking at the other day had a big impact just by giving away free chocolate after they bought a certain amount, which seems absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's just those little nudges, and it's like the systems and incentives within the business to nudge people in the right direction. So it was actually a book. Maybe there's a book, very famous book called Nudge. And it's similar to that. It's like having those nudges with inside the shopping cart, basket, and checkout that nudge people in the right direction that you want. And there's an incentive to move to that. And effectively, you know, if you think about the people that are going to buy, people are always going to buy the actual buyers, and you've got the almost buyers, and the almost buyers are kind of teetering over on the fence, and then they'll fall over to the buy side if you just nudge them, basically. And the same thing with the people who actually buy, they will be they can be nudged to buy slightly more often, and there's usually a little bit of a nudge will actually go quite far because they're already on the edge of tipping over to the next stage. So it can make a big difference to
and
how
I think
you
it's
present
when
and how you amplify it.
It's when it's like, obviously, you know, last year and this year, we talk a lot about email acquisition and how we use email acquisition to help go through the whole domino process with ultimately the offer, which flushes these almost buyers out, which is like another bite of the cherry. And I think, you know, take someone who's got a slightly longer buying window, even if it's like a week. I mean, we're not talking like the sofa example is a bit more extreme, but typically the higher the average order value, typically the more considered purchase it is and the longer it takes to make the decision. So take something like that. The extreme is people are just not going to buy the first sofa that they land, or mattress or table, or, you know, anything that's a slightly higher average order, but they're not going to buy the first time they land on the site. Hence why we talk about getting the email, because we know that even if this website was the best website that got the most amazing product page, it got trust and credibility, we reduced the anxiety, the job to be done was absolutely amazing, we positioned it really well, navigational flow. Like, imagine if it was absolutely optimized incredibly, which is, you know, a never-ending thing. If they didn't have the email acquisition right and the remarketing setup right, they still wouldn't see an increase of conversion rate because of the time it takes to buy, you know, the length of time. So that's why, you know, we use email as a way of actually pushing these dominoes, but particularly the offer architecture at the right time.
Mm. And you know, I think the last domino to work, what we're effectively trying to do on our business is have an entertainment layer on the business. And I think a lot of people make the mistake of kind of thinking, oh, I've got to have some kind of offer, and just putting the offer on there without the two things. First of all, the reason why we're having an offer, which could be something that's already people are interested in. So I'm working with someone who sells airplane magazines and airplane models and all that kind of stuff, you know, and there could be the Farnborough Air Show down in London, the big show. And it's like, well, we've got a Farnborough show offer. We're not at the Farnborough show, but we've got a Farnborough show offer. And this month you can get this, this, and this. So tying it to a reason why, it's more believable. You know,
well, it's a three-legged stool. Don't forget about three-legged. Forgotten about your own analogy.
Yeah. Otherwise the stool falls over. Well, you've got to have the reason why. You've got to have time bound to it, and you've got to amplify it.
Oh, it's good. I'm glad that you remembered. I thought you were going to forget what the three-legged offer architecture was. Well, you got it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, it's reason why, which can be seasonality, which is you get out of jail free card. Because, you know, not everybody's going to have a show. Or, you know, it can just be a seasonality. Then it's got to be time bound, which is when it's going to end. Because if an offer isn't time bound, then there's no incentive. You may as well, I'll come back later to, you know, take advantage of that. And then the third one is to make sure it's visually amplified that the people can actually see it. You know, they're really key.
And if you've got a good offer and you've done everything right and you've got all the dominoes in the right, then just sometimes making the offer louder on the site makes a huge difference. Like just putting it in the header bar at the top is just not enough. Like you've got to really, you'd be surprised at how big and where you need to put the offer. And I think the analogy that we use is kind of like you've got an entertainment layer on the business. You're having a party. There's a party at my house this weekend. It's going to be fancy dress. This is what we're doing. And if you don't turn up, you know, you're going to miss out. And effectively, that's what the offer should do. It should create a kind of like festival type atmosphere that kind of gives a bit of energy to the website that kind of makes the website feel like you want to look at it at this time and you want to do something at this time because this is when it's happening. It's like when you go to any... If you go to a show, like if you go to the Farnborough Air Show, you want to come away with something. Like you don't want to go and kind of come home empty. You want to kind of like buy something or sign up for something or, you know, move forward with it. It's like going to the shopping center. Apart from my wife, who likes to go to shopping centers and spend 8 hours looking at stuff and not come home with everything, anything. Most people like to come home from a shopping trip with something. And it's effectively like that. See, they want to know when it's the right time to buy, and the offer architecture, the reason to buy now, does that. And
well, listen,
effectively, you're harvesting, aren't you?
Well, look, I think the biggest objection we get from people is, does the offer architecture cheapen the brand? And often if people don't have a brand, and we've obviously talked a lot about that they get too precious about it. And I've just written something down here, which is the average lifetime customer value over a 12-month period, number of purchases, 1.2, right? So you've got 1.2 purchases in a year. So people are not looking at your website all the time. And that often you're dealing with new customers for the first time. So you are marketing to, I didn't come up with this, it was somebody far more experienced than me. He said you're marketing to a moving parade of people all the time. So when something always looks fresh, so if they haven't seen your offer architecture for the first time, it's probably the first time that they've seen it. So so I would always say you start to split it down in terms of recruitment and retention. That's the other thing. It's like, what's your recruitment offer? How are you going to recruit new customers? And then what's your retention offer? And they can be quite similar. You know, but you know, I would always have, that would be my go-to, would be recruitment. And I think the reason why I say it doesn't need to be really complicated is because people are only coming on your site, maybe the average is 1.2 times in a year. So it doesn't need to change that often. And you just need to
change the theme that's relevant to the people in the parade who are in front of you at that time.
Or the season. So it doesn't need to change.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is, in terms of the cheapening of the brand, you know, I look at the example we always used to talk about was the White Company. The White Company used to do offers all the time. They would have a standard 20% off welcome offer, and then they'd have a 20% off retention offer. You know, VIP 20. It was the same, 20 to recruit and 20 to retain. And there's lots and lots and lots of e-com businesses that we've worked with where we've gone in and we've just done a simple recruitment offer and a retention offer. And it's the most straightforward thing to do. But of course, it's much more powerful if it's built on top of the other dominoes, the trust and credibility, you know, but I don't think it, I think the other worry would be is if we recruit a new customer on an offer, you know, are they always going to want an offer, you know, as the second, is it going to train customers to go and get an offer? But if you've built it into your pricing and that you've given yourself that little wiggle room, it doesn't matter whether or not you're recruiting or not. The problem is a lot of times we go into an e-com business where they say, oh, my conversion rate only works when we're on an offer. Like it just doesn't work. Like it's flat. ROAS is great. Everything works when we've got an offer running. Every email works really well. Google Ads works really well. Facebook works really well. You know, our conversion rate goes up. and then take the offer away and it dies. I'm like, well, why are you taking the offer away? You know, why is it not built into your bearing in mind that people are only coming on and buying 1.2 times a year?
Yeah, and it has to be win-win. It has to be win for you as the retailer and a win for the customer. And I think the most important thing to understand is the perception of the offer in the customer's mind and the perception of effectively the scarcity, the time-bound nature, and the reason to buy today is more important. And particularly price, how you present price will affect how the sale goes. You know, so much so, like particularly on sites where they're selling other people's products, one of the key things we look at is how they're actually presenting the price. It like subtle differences in what you're emphasizing and not emphasizing will actually make or break the sale. It's that fundamental because I can't state this enough, the perception of something, the perception of the website that we've talked about before with Crow and conversion rate optimization about the perception of ease of use. Perception of ease of use is more important than actual ease of use. If someone thinks the website is easy to use, they will find it easy to use. Same thing with offers. If they have the perception of it being a good offer or a good time for an offer, they will buy. So you can see this in Black Friday. A lot of the Black Friday offers are probably not that much better than the normal offers you put out during a bog standard weekend. But people buy because the perception of the offer is that it's a really good offer, because it's a good time for offers. And so if the customer's perception of a high offer is amped up, you're actually going to sell a lot more. So your job is to build a powerful reason why that it's a now good time to buy. And effectively, that's what we're doing. And obviously, during the year, Easter's the gift that keeps on giving because you've got all these long weekends. It's fantastic. But there are sections of the year where you've got these kind of no man's land, where you've got no real kind of reason why to hang your hat on. And those are the times where you've really got to try and manufacture your own party, events, things like that to kind of like give people an event to come and buy. And it's not about always dropping your trousers in terms of price. You know, there's the launch model that a lot of our clients use, you know, bringing out new products, allowing people to kind of get a pre-glimpse of it, and then launching the product over a certain weekend and being the first people to try it and those kind of things. It's like having a party. It's like, we're having a party, we're launching a new product, everybody who comes to the party can get to use it for the first time. And by the way, if you buy this product, we're going to give you this other thing as well. And we're not going to sell it after that because we're just going to do a soft launch. All these things are effectively like organizing a great event. And it's event-based marketing. And event-based marketing around the reason to buy now is not reducing your price to the minimum you can possibly afford just to kind of recruit the customer on. Because that's like a market seller, which we're not. We're not market sellers. We're not.
No, and we would reduce
everything down to.
Sometimes if it's your own brand, we've often gone in and, you know, put the prices up. You know, that's one of the strategies. And we talk a lot about pricing architecture. Price architecture is one of the biggest levers that you can use in if it's your own brand. You know, but I think
we put prices up, nothing's happened.
Yeah,
conversion rate steady.
I mean, it's obviously it's the test on one of our programs is putting the pricing up, you know, and seeing what happens. But I think the reason why people are reluctant to do it sometimes is, again, it's the perception. It doesn't have to be, you know, cheap, and that's part of the brand. But the other thing is, if you go into a retail store, the conversion rate in a physical retail store is much, much higher. I actually don't know what the stats are, but I know it's much higher. Obviously, it depends on, you know, what kind of store it is. But compare that store to an online store. I mean, the average conversion rate, you know, of an online store is like 2%. Depends on your lifetime customer value. You know, but take a physical store and the amount of customers that are coming in, there's much higher conversion rate in a physical retail store. Because online, they can flit around dozens and dozens of different stores incredibly easy. At the click of a mouse, you can go into comparing, you know, 20. I mean, if you're buying a sofa or you're buying a pair of shoes, I mean, you can go on to many, many different websites, you know, incredibly easy. You can drift around. So it's why you have to work much harder than you would if the customer was in your shop physically. And that's why we talk about the you know, the offer architecture. And it is the entertainment layer. And it's just, if you get it right, like if you get all the other dominoes right, you've demonstrated them all, you've set it all up. It's just beautiful when that final domino, you start testing that. And I think of anything that we've done, I have to say, it's still the biggest impact on conversion rate and ROAS. And recruitment and retention, it is that final domino. But you can't, you can't just go straight there. You have to understand the other domino.
Yeah, and I think it's about finding your reason to buy now for your market, for your customer base. So an example I was just looking up, it was about, JCPenney, the retail store in the United States. And the CEO, they brought a new CEO called Ron Johnson, and he came in 2011, and he got rid of all the coupons. And he'd come from Apple, and he was responsible for kind of one of the big pulls layout of their stores. And he tried to bring what Apple had done to JCPenney. And so he got elimination of all the coupons and the constant sales. And then he changed the store and the layout to be more boutique based and all that kind of stuff, basically like Apple. And so he was effectively trying to go, well, this worked on Apple. I'm going to bring this to JCPenney and get rid of all the offer architecture that JCPenney's got because it's annoying, without realizing that Apple's offer architecture was effectively scarcity of product and something that people wanted, the new launch model, which is a launch model. They're always launching new products. You put that into JCPenney and it completely died because JCPenney's products aren't changing. They're basically perfumes and all that kind of stuff. It's all the stuff you can have all year round. So there's no launch model. There's no reason to go into JCPenney. Effectively, he was only there for 3 years and he got fired because he brought the wrong kind of offer architecture.
Yeah, you removed the entertainment layer, hadn't you? You removed the reason to go into JCPenney and have a look because there was no reason to go in. But it's the same thing about Bed Bath & Beyond. That's the same story, exactly the same story. Mm. In fact, I think it was somebody who came from Apple again. Who went and from Apple into Bed Bath and Beyond, and I think it was the guy that did all the Genius bars and things like that went in, and again took away the offer architecture within Bed Bath and Beyond, and went to a sort of normal low price, and obviously we know what happened to Bed Bath and Beyond. I mean, they went into administration last year.
Well, I think that was also because they didn't attack online, did they? They didn't attack online. So I think that, and also sometimes people have been very successful with certain offer architecture and got them so far, and then they've kind of almost thought like the grass is kind of greener. They've kind of gone, oh, okay, wouldn't it be lovely to be like Apple? And it's like, well, you've got to understand the offer architecture of someone like Apple. There's no business out there that doesn't have offer architecture. And Apple's offer architecture is the launch model. It's the new product that you've got to get, that you've got to upgrade. It's the upgrade model, basically. It's scarcity, and it's about building that. And if you haven't got that, let's say you're selling car batteries, you can't use the Apple model because it's a car battery. It's the same car battery that they had last year, and it's a rational distress purchase. So you've got to really understand what offer architecture is suitable for you and which ones aren't, and make sure you apply the right one. And also, if something works, ride it like a wave as far as it can go. And don't speak to someone last week. They're like, oh, we know we're doing all these offers and people are saying that they can't afford the full price and all that stuff. And it's like, yes, but you're sitting on a business that is scaling. Your lifetime customer value is fantastic. You can recruit customers less than you need to pay for a customer, that you can afford to pay for a customer. You're in a fantastic place. Why would you mess around with something as fundamental as your offer architecture that's working and become another JCPenney that has to kind of completely rebuild it? It's,
and also,
you find something that works, you ride it.
And a brand, because they'll say often, well, it's going to damage the brand. It's going to damage the brand. And I said, well, a brand comes from only one thing. A brand comes from having customers. That's where the brand comes from. You can't pretend to be a brand just by looking a certain way. It comes from having a great big model to recruit customers into it. And so, I think it can soften. I think, let's say, you're zero. We always used to say you're zero to 10 million strategy can be very different to your 10 million and beyond, because by the point that you've got to 10 million turnover through your e-com each year, you know, you have got a body of customers that will be talking about your brand. And so you can then decide at that point to actually soften it. But, you know, essentially, a brand only comes from being able to recruit customers. So, you know, don't be too precious about it. And but you know, let's say you want to, you know, build it up and you sell your e-com business. You know, let someone else faff around with.
But I think you've hit the nail on the head there, is that you don't have to be the same e-commerce business all the way through your growth. So what you'll do to get to the first million will be different to what you get to the 5 million, which you get to the 10 million to get to the 100 million. Completely different business models. Well, not completely different business models, but different things you will do. To get to your first million, you might have something in your business that's not scalable. Like, you, like to get your first few sales, you might say you're like an influencer, a fashion influencer, and you decide to start your own fashion boutique. And you to get your first sales, you say, with every pair of dress I sell, I'm going to do a free Zoom fashion consultation. You know, completely unscalable, but you're going to get your first few sales. That's your offer architecture at the beginning. That might get you to, I don't know, 20 grand a month. And then you kind of do, you've got a body of customers, you've got people talking about you, maybe you do a community, you do a Facebook group. And then in the Facebook group, you do launch offers and you give the offer for the latest lines to them first before everybody else. And then you get to a million. And then when you get to a million, you're doing more reach, you're more Facebook ads, and you're talking about things differently. And you're kind of doing the monthly dress offers that goes out to the total email list. And then you grow and you build, and your offer architecture changes as you go. Mm. So what you're looking for is the offer architecture that's going to get you from the step you are at the moment to the next step that you want to get. And don't make the mistake of thinking, I'm going to launch this perfume brand, I need to be like Ralph Dior perfume at the beginning. You might start with a perfume brand and say, we're going to do personal scent consultations, and then we're going to make your own bespoke scent. And just so happens you've got four scents, and it's one of the fours you choose for them. And it's like, this one's what you're going to get. And that can scale you. That can get you to the beginning, because it's so important to have something. It's basically like the size of party. Like, if I'm having a house party, I'm not marketing it like I'm having an event in Hyde Park in London. Is it Hyde Park? With a big Central Park in New York, you know? I haven't been to London for such a long time.
It is Hyde Park.
What the park's called. It is at Hyde Park, yeah. So I'm not marketing it like I'm having an event in Hyde Park. I'm having a close dinner party with a few friends. It's a completely different offer architecture that I'm going to promote that party with.
We're basically saying is, don't be worried about playing with your offer architecture and seeing that grow and change over the course of your business. And it can change, but you know, it's purely about the whole philosophy of the dominoes, and the whole philosophy of e-commerce is purely about trying to influence one simple thing. It's, how can I get more return out of my ad spend? That's it. We just want to scale our ad spend. And if you focus on that, obviously you're going to grow your e-commerce business. So, you know, unashamedly, if Mark and I take an e-commerce brand and we're trying to get from 0 to 10 million, we will really, really go after that. We're just focusing purely on how can we get an increased return on ad spend? How can we continue to scale our advertising budget profitably? That's all we really care about. And then at the point that we can do that, and we're getting the e-com businesses to around 10 million, then we've got a brand that we can start to work with. But even at 10 million, if you're doing 10 million, you're nobody, you're nothing really. Nobody really has heard of you, even at that level. So, you know, you're having to convince somebody to buy from you when there's probably much bigger, more dominant brands that people have heard of. And you're asking them to buy from you.
To be honest, some of the people we work with who are doing 100 million, they still wouldn't know who they were. We've got some people doing big numbers in menswear and women's clothing and aftermarket parts and all that kind of stuff. And they're doing, you know, hundreds of millions of pounds, dollars. And if I said to you, oh, who's this? They wouldn't know who they were. So, you know, it's not until you get, I mean, household names, they are big. They are big revenues to do that, unless you're in something that is very, very visual, but not transactional, you know, so that everybody knows who they are, but not many people buy from them anymore or whatever, you know? So, yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, we are completely invisible until you are massive. Obviously, you're going to have your loyal followers and they will know who you are and your community base. And that's what we want to be famous within our market. That's what we want to be.
Yeah. Thanks. But also, I would also say don't worry too much about, because that's another worry as well, that the existing customers, if you're going to be doing offers all the time, your existing customer, they're going to get tired and they're going to be really attentive of it. But remember, look at how many times on average people buy in a year. Go and have a look. You know, it's you know, figure it out. And the average is 1.2. And you'll be surprised, because you'll think it's, oh no, our customers are not like that. They're really attentive. They know that, you know. Well, yes, you know, Joe will. You know, we're like that one customer who contacts your customer service, but it doesn't represent your entire customer base. But we tend to find you get much more out of it by holding on your offer architecture. It's a definite go-to. Without an offer architecture, you're really growing with your hands behind your back, and it certainly can turbocharge your ROAS, done well and effectively. Do it.
Yeah, and it's obviously one of those little levers that you can just push,
yeah,
and you can get it right. And it's like, you know, one day your average order value can be this, and tomorrow your average order value can be that. It can be literally that game changer. And it's like, well, why didn't we do this earlier? Yeah. Like, why are we sitting there letting people not be nudged into having the average order value 20% higher, which then makes our ROAS 20% higher, which means that we can pay a cost per click 20% higher than the competition. And it's just everything just starts singing on the same hymn sheet, doesn't it? Effectively. Awesome.
Totally.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Dominoes.
Yeah.
Complete.
Dominoes done. We're going to have to come up with another metaphor that we'll have to go through. What was the last time we did? We did the four horsemen of e-commerce or something like the five.
No, it was the five salespeople. Horsemen. What are you talking about?
The Domino's is probably the Domino's is what we'll stick with, to be honest, because it makes a lot of sense. And it went, and we first did it at the big event. It went down really well, and people, because it just makes sense in people's mind that they'll kind of like why things haven't worked. Like, we tried that, but we hadn't done the domino before it. So it's not going to work. You know, just coming out with an offer and going, oh, we did this offer. And it's like, it's crickets. It's like, that's why you haven't done the other steps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark. Cheerio.